Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to see the announcements at the back of your bulletin. We do have things going on this summer, and there's also good information in there. Do have a couple of things to highlight. One is that immediately after our worship service this morning, we will be having a called congregational meeting to discuss and possibly approve a covered sports court for our youth ministry and activities here at the congregation. So please stay after the worship service for that congregational meeting. Also, just a little bit more information on the Hill Country flooding and how we can help. Right now, what they mainly need is cash donations or donations of gift cards. That's the main help that they could use right now. I know some of you would like to go up there and help and see if you can do some stuff up there, but right now it is busy with the media up there, with the official rescue squads and search squads, and just other people up there wanting to help, different groups up there. So at this point, the best thing that they could get is cash and gift cards. It is possible then, once the media leaves and this kind of leaves the news cycle, that there may be possibilities that we could get up there or do some work. One thing that I would ask from this congregation, if there would be anybody who is interested in being a congregational coordinator for this project. I know right now the NALC has, I think, taken three different trucks from three of the NALC warehouses, disaster warehouses, particularly like with flood buckets and cleaning supplies and those kind of things. And I know that those warehouses then will need to be restocked. So that may be a project for us. There are different work crews that are planning to go up there in a week or two to help just clean up brush or help people get established once again. But it would be good to have a coordinator from our congregation that could keep up with all the current information and the best way then to direct our resources and all that. So if you're interested, please give me a call or contact me with that. There is more information in your bulletin today, and then we will try to keep the website and our Facebook page also up to date as we get more information on what's going on. Okay, I think we've got another couple of announcements. Tina.
Good morning. I've got some odd requests and some big requests from y'all. Next week is Bible school, as y'all know. We are road tripping on the go with God, and you can't do a road trip without suitcases. So next week, bring your suitcase to church with you. We would like to use those to decorate and use for props. If you have your travel tag on there, then great. That way then next week you can pick it right back up. If not, just put a piece of paper in that suitcase. That way we know whose it is and we can get it back to you. Also, we are looking for cases of water for the kids and the helpers. So if you feel that you can help with that, you can drop it off in the office. Miss Amanda is storing that for us. And also monetary donations if you have, mainly for our Friday meal. For our closing, we are needing some monetary donations to help with that. Also, we're going to be decorating all week next week. I will start around 5 o'clock p.m. every day. So if you want to help and prepare with me, then feel free to come up. I will probably be in the basement, and you're more than welcome to help me with that. Also, Sunday, we will start decorating and putting all the props together, and that will start around 1 o'clock. So if you want to help me with that, I would appreciate that also. One last odd request is I need somebody to help me grill some hot dogs for Friday. If you feel compelled to come up and grill about 300 hot dogs for me, I would appreciate that. So get with me if you want to do that odd request for me. And I think that's it. Oh, one last thing is Sunday at 6 p.m. I want to have a VBS meeting with all my volunteers. That way we kind of know what to expect that week. If you can't make it at 6, then just find me that Monday and I'll catch you up before we start our VBS. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Tina. Aiden, did you have an announcement?
Good morning. It is about halfway through July, so that means that we need to get ready for our pool party. Pool party. It's going to be on August 1st from 7 to 9 at the Quero Pool and Splash Pad. There's a sign up in the basement, so if you would like to attend, please go sign up. It's for all ages, the little kids all the way up to the big kids. And then FFF, oh yeah, the drinks and the pizza are going to be provided for you. And then FFF will be having bowling Wednesday, July 30th from 6 to 8. Pick up and... Yes, I'm getting to that part, Mom. we would like you to drop off and pick up your child at Century Lanes, please. Like, don't leave them there. You have to come drop them off and pick them up. And that's pretty much it. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Aiden. And that pool party is for the full family, right? Parents,
yes.
Parents, everybody, kids and parents. All right. All right, very good. All right, Terry.
There will be 14 young people and myself and Ashley Payton leaving for camp today at Camp Lone Star in LaGrange. Just wanted to let you know that. And first of all, let you know that the camp has assured us everything is safe. We're in a different camp. We're not on the Guadalupe. We're on the Colorado River. And that they have assured us that everything is fine and we'll be fine too while we're there. So I wanted to let you know that and also ask you to pray for us this week for safe travel to and from and also for fun, safe, and faith-filled week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Anybody else with announcements? Then we begin with our opening hymn, Be Thou My Vision. Please rise.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Holy is the Lord, the Almighty. He is worthy of glory and honor and power.
He created all things.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain.
Worthy to take his soul and raise Jesus.
By his blood he purchased for God.
He will never erase his son, but every hope of the nation.
Christ made of them a kingdom.
And priests serve our God.
And they shall reign on earth forever. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I confess to God Almighty, before the whole company of heaven, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. Wherefore I pray God Almighty to have mercy on me. Forgive me all my sins, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all your sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing the hymn, Make Me a Servant, and we'll sing through it two times. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord, your God, by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in his book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In Psalm 25, the congregation will respond in the bold. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, my God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. In you have I trusted all day long.
Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in his way.
He guides the humble and the upright, and teaches his way to the lowly.
All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The second lesson is from Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord.
You
may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. How's everybody today? Doing okay? Good. All right. We'll let everybody get up here. Having a good summer? Guess what? It's getting close to being over. All right. So I have here a box, but I call it my quiz box. Okay? Underneath this flap over here that has just random numbers on it, and over here on this flap, it has a number 10 on it. There's something underneath, okay? And there is no right or wrong answer, but I am going to ask you to choose one first by showing your hands. Which one of you, if you want number 10, raise your hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, okay. All right, how about those who want the number ones? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 5 gets it, so it's the number 10, okay? So let's see what's underneath number 10. It's a man like that, okay? So you want to see what the other ones voted for? It's a man like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, no? Well, my question is, which one of these men would you like to help? This one over here? This one? Well, it's kind of split, isn't it? Well, you know what? That's kind of a good thing, because that's what we're talking about today in the gospel lesson, is helping somebody that you don't know. And we call him a Samaritan because the story is somebody gets hurt and he's laying on the road and 2 people pass by and then Samaritan comes and helps, right? Okay? And the Samaritan is not, if we were to talk about which kind of guy this Samaritan was, he would probably be considered by most people like that.
Why?
Because they didn't like Samaritans. Okay? But he's the one who helps. It was these type of guys that walked by. Now, that's the big part of the story, but I want to talk about the fourth person in the story. He's the one we forget. Because what does a Samaritan do? He picks him up, puts him on his donkey, and takes him to an inn. And that's the person I want to talk about, the innkeeper. Because the Samaritan tells him, I've got to go, here's a couple of dollars, and you take care of him, and when I come back by, I'll pay you what you did. Now, if you had one of these guys come to your house with somebody, and they said, would you take care of this guy, and I'll come back and pay you later? Would you do it?
Yes,
because you want something. But that would be hard, wouldn't it? That would be hard. Because this person not only The other person risked helping him, the Samaritan did, but the innkeeper has to help him and pay for him and bandage his wounds. And he doesn't know if the other person's coming back. That's a lot of trust and a lot of faith, isn't it? Well, sometimes God speaks to us in unique ways and unique times. And guess what? Last week, of course, we heard about all the sadness and people losing things and being hurt in the flood. Yeah. Matter of fact, my daughter texted me this morning just a little bit before this service started, and she lives in Kerrville and says it's pouring up there again. Yeah. Now, yeah, it was a terrible thing, wasn't it? It's very sad. Isn't that something, isn't it?
They were still alive.
Yeah. But for every sad part of the story, too, there was always a good part of the story. All the people coming and help and being good Samaritans, the people who survived, all those good things. Now, we can't help with money, probably, okay? And we can't be the hands of the people up there. They're good Samaritans up there working right now, clearing things and helping people. Maybe we can't do that, but... There is one thing all of us can do, and it's pretty powerful too. It's using our hands in a different way. It goes like this. Put one hand up like that. Put the other hand up like that. Put them together. Praying. Exactly. That's a very powerful thing. So let's do that right now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. We know that people are hurting right now, and there are also good Samaritans helping. We perhaps can't do everything, but we can do this. We can pray for your love and mercy for these people and for your guidance and help, and most of all, for your peace for them. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. And don't forget to continue to pray for them too this week. Okay? Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This story of the Good Samaritan is probably one of the best known stories, probably in the world. I know it is among Christians. Christians know this story. If I would ask you to tell me this story, you could probably tell it to me without ever looking at it for a long time and still know it word for word. Even those who are not Christians know it as well then, too. One of the reasons is because we have what are called Good Samaritan laws. Now, the Good Samaritan laws are those laws which protect people who, when they come across someone who is in immediate need of care, say at an accident or something else has gone wrong, that the caregiver then is protected from lawsuits or anything else if something should go awry. And they're called the Good Samaritan laws because of this story of the man who stopped and helped along the road. Well, we know this story very well, but today I want to look at it just a little bit different. I want to look at it starting with why Jesus told this story. And our gospel lesson begins that a lawyer wanted to test Jesus. Now, the lawyer here is not what we know of as lawyers, so to speak. The lawyers were those who had studied Scripture, particularly the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, because those are known as the law books. Those are the books that have all the laws of God in them, or most of the laws of God in them. And these lawyers then, that was their goal, that was their job in life, was to study this and to argue the points of all the law. They knew them frontwards and backwards and every which way. They could pinpoint them within a scroll. They knew exactly where they were. I'm sure they had everything memorized as far as all five books. not only did they know those books or the laws in those books, but also all the other codes, the regulations, the ordinances, and everything else that were surrounding these laws. And so over the centuries, as the rabbis, as the priests, and as the scribes, the Pharisees, and the lawyers studied these, they would debate with one another, what exactly does that law mean? How exactly are we to follow that law? What's it mean to follow that law? For instance, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day was a day for rest. Well, what's it mean to rest? How many steps can a person take during that day and still yet be considered rest? And so they had that number. So these lawyers knew everything, all the fine details, the history of these laws and ordinances and codes and everything else that went along with this. And so they were very learned people. They were very smart people. They were sharp because that's what they did, is debate these laws and try to figure them all out. And they were just well-educated and well-certified. And then comes Jesus, and they didn't know what to do with Jesus. He was not certified. He had not studied under the most famous rabbis. He was just a country preacher, a pretender, and people were still following him. And it was getting under the skin of the religious leaders, of the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers, the Sadducees, the priests, the Levites. Jesus was getting under their skin. So they wanted to discredit him. And so the story starts. A lawyer wanted to test Jesus. Now again, you've got this very learned, very important person questioning this guy from some backwater town and trying to discredit Jesus. And so he asked him, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Interesting question here, because that very question tells a lot about this lawyer. First of all, it is self-centered. What must I do? As if I can attain eternal life. As if I am good enough, or I deserve to be a part of, or have eternal life. It is self-centered and self-serving. But the interesting thing is that Jesus did not scold him, "What bad theology you have." Jesus didn't answer in that way. Do you know the best way to stay out of an argument, or how to avoid an argument? It's to agree with somebody. If you agree with somebody, you're not going to have an argument. And it just kind of takes the fun out of it. And that's exactly what Jesus did. So he asked the question then to the lawyer, "Well, what does the scripture say?" And the lawyer says, "Well, the scripture says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "That's great. Go do that." No argument. They both agree. That's what the scripture says. They both agree. There's no argument. Now, I can imagine this lawyer, when he looks at that, you know, he was trying to trap Jesus, and yet he was trying to be humble by calling Jesus teacher, when he knew full well that he was in charge and he was the teacher. And Jesus, though, picks it up and turns it around, and Jesus does become the actual teacher, because he's the one, Jesus then, is to become the one who asks the actual question. And the lawyer takes the bait and answers the question. And the good teacher, Jesus, says, "Very good, student." I can just imagine that lawyer. When he catches on, Jesus just got the best of him. All this puffed up self, that balloon just kind of fizzles out. It just deflates. And he's probably wondering, what just happened? But he recovers himself. "Oh yeah, I'm trying here to test Jesus." And so he comes up with the second question. "So then, who is my neighbor?" And that's when Jesus launches into this story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus uses parables a lot of times because they truly do bring out the point. Now, Jesus could have gotten into an argument right here with that lawyer. I mean, that's what the lawyer was trying to do, because the lawyer is a professional debater. That's his forte. But rather, Jesus is the actual teacher. Jesus is the Son of God who wants to bring about the message that the kingdom of God has come near. And the best way, the most effective way, is for Jesus to tell the parables. And so he tells this parable of the prodigal son, where you have a man beaten and left for half dead, where a priest comes by, a holy man, and a Levite, one of the workers of the temple, also come by at different times, and both of them handle the situation in the same way. They see the man, half beaten, probably unconscious, bleeding, hurting, but yet they walk by on the other side of the road. Why? Wouldn't it be within just anybody's human compassion to stop? To stop and check out on this person. But there's really two major reasons why these two people stop. Like I said, both of these are holy people. Both of these are people who work in the temple. And again, going back to one of those codes, laws, regulations, was that if you touch a corpse, you are considered unclean and you cannot enter the temple for a specified amount of time and until you have gone through the right rituals and have done the right sacrifices. So this man who is laying conscious on the road, beaten and bleeding, they didn't know whether he was dead or was still alive, and they weren't going to take a chance on it, because if they went over there and touched him, then they could not do their jobs. They couldn't go into the temple. The priest could not go perform services or sacrifice. The Levite could not go into the temple to do all the supporting roles that would need to take place within the temple, whether that's leading songs or whether setting up the altar or whatever other things that the Levites did. They would not be able to do that. In their self-importance, they said, I am needed elsewhere. I have a job to do. People are expecting me to do this. And they could not stop and take the time to help the man on the side of the road. Now, the people in that day and time would have understood this, because they understood the roles of people. And then a Samaritan comes by. Now, I know Terry did mention that Samaritans were not liked by the Jews. But the Samaritans were also Israelites. They claimed their heritage from Israel, from Jacob, following all the way down the line through the first priest, first chief priest, who is Aaron. And they follow that lineage all the way down through Joseph. And then the Samaritans were from the northern tribes then, when the land was settled, of Ephraim and Manasseh. And so the Samaritans are in that northern territory, basically the area that we know of as the West Bank today of Israel. And so they were of the northern kingdom after the kingdom of Israel was divided after the reign of King Solomon. So the Samaritans were of the northern kingdom. The Jews, or the Judeans, were from the southern kingdom. Now, by the time Rome conquered them, that didn't matter. I mean, each conquering army made their own divisions within the lands, their own territories within the lands. They're basically like we divide up our area with states or with counties or jurisdictions. Each conquering army would divide it up as they saw fit. So that didn't matter anymore. But what was the difference? What was the contention here was that the Samaritan said that the most important holy point was Mount Gerizim, which was up in that northern territory. That is where they worshiped. For the Jews, they were saying the most holy point in all the land was Mount Zion, which is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. And so they had these contentions with each other. Another contention was that as the invading armies had come in and had taken Israelites and Judeans and all of them out for to be slaves in the foreign countries, well, a lot of times they would also import other people from other foreign countries back into the land. And so the Jews were saying that these Samaritans are not pure Israelites. They have interbred with some of these other peoples. And so they are not pure. So there was animosity between these two groups. A Jew would not have anything to do with a Samaritan if he could possibly help it. A Samaritan would not have anything to do with a Jew if he could possibly help it. And here it is, a Samaritan who walks by on the side of the road. And again, the people in that day and time would have picked up on it immediately, that is the one who stops. And so at the end of the story, when Jesus asked that lawyer, "So, who was the neighbor? Who was the neighbor?" The lawyer had to answer, not the priest, not the Levite, not the important people, not the learned people, but it was the detested person who was actually the neighbor, the one who stopped and offered assistance. We get caught up. We ask that same question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? But as we look at this story tells us so much about that it's not about me. It's about what it says in the scripture, which is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because that tells us who God is. That tells us exactly what God has done for us. That it's not up to us for our salvation. It's that gift of Jesus Christ who has brought salvation to us. So we can forget about that question, what must I do to eternal life? The question becomes then, is how can I be faithful? How can I serve God? How can I serve my neighbor? God does call us into action, not to win our salvation, but rather that is the nature of who we are. We are Christians. We are called to have compassion. We are called to take some risk and go help some people, to do good, to help proclaim that kingdom of God. God calls us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "Lord, You Give the Great Commission."
Oh, Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray to God our Father in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, making intercession for the church, the world, and for all people according to their need. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the ministry of showing mercy to others. We confess that sometimes we are distracted or self-absorbed. We make excuses for passing by on the other side. Forgive us, Father, and kindle your Holy Spirit within our hearts. Make us signs of your love to those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy. Our persecuted sisters and brothers cry to you for help. Give them strength, hope, and courage in their suffering. Do not let us ignore their plight. Forgive and transform evildoers who have been wounded by them. Lord, in your mercy. Give sharp eyes, wise hearts, and generous hands to our elected and appointed leaders, wherever they are given authority and power. Help each of us to notice our neighbor's distress. Give us all the grace and the willingness to show them mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Protect the farms, businesses, and homes of those affected by flood, fire, wind, drought, or earthquake. We pray especially for those in the floods of Central Texas and those shaken by the earthquakes in Guatemala. Keep safe all who work to repair and strengthen bridges, roads, dams, and levees. Open wide the hands of all your people to help provide for those whose homes and livelihoods have been destroyed. Lord, in your mercy. Bring the healing of Jesus' grace and mercy to all who are wounded in body, mind, or spirit. Bless all who act as a good Samaritan to them. We pray especially for Joe Barnes, Alberto Jimenez Jr., Rosa Harton, Catherine Glore, Lynn Magura, Nick Picard, Elaine Molina, Stacy Nelson, Gray Mosier, Janet Lemke, Olita Patillo, Warner Barth, and the family of Travis Schley. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving your fullest healing to our beloved dead. Bind up the hearts of those who are still wounded by grief. Help us to show kindness and mercy to everyone we meet throughout our earthly pilgrimage, for we do not know the burden of suffering that they bear. And by your grace, bring us into your house of healing, life, love, and peace, which your Son has prepared for all whom he has redeemed. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we might be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
Amen.
Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Count Your Blessings. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you.